Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, October 4th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a pressing issue. Our topic today is the rising concerns about marijuana addiction and other side effects as legalization spreads. Let's start with the recent data analysis mentioned in the article. Eric, what are your thoughts on the findings?
Well, Ted, I've got to say these numbers are pretty eye-opening. We're talking about nearly a third of users, that's a whopping 18 million people, showing symptoms of cannabis use disorder. It's not just a drop in the bucket, it's more like a tidal wave. And get this, 3 million of them could be considered full-blown addicted. That's not just a red flag, it's a whole parade of them.
Hold your horses there, Eric. While those numbers might seem sky high, we need to pump the brakes a bit. Cannabis.
I hear what you're saying, Kate, but let's not sugarcoat it. Even if we're looking at a spectrum, we're still talking about millions of people whose daily lives are being impacted. And here's the kicker. 81% of daily users aged 18 to 25 meet the criteria for cannabis use disorder. That's not just alarming, it's downright terrifying.
Oh, come on now. That age group is notorious for experimentation. We can't just lump youthful exploration.
Experimentation? Kate, we're not talking about trying on different hairstyles here. These are young adults whose brains are still developing. The potential for long-term damage is real and significant.
Let's shift gears a bit and discuss cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, or CHS. Kate, what can you tell us about this condition?
Thanks, Ted. Look, CHS is a rare condition that mainly affects heavy users. It's important to keep things in perspective here. While it can be serious in some cases, it's not exactly a widespread epidemic. We shouldn't let this overshadow the numerous benefits that marijuana can provide for many people.
Rare? Kate, I'm sorry, but that's just not accurate. Estimates suggest up to a third of near-daily users experience symptoms.
Eric, let's not blow this out of proportion. The article only mentions 8 deaths since 2004. That's over nearly 2 decades. Compared to other substances, that's a drop in the bucket.
Even one death is too many for a preventable condition, Kate. And let's not forget, we're likely underestimating the prevalence.
But that's exactly my point, Eric. We need more research and better documentation before we start raising alarm bells. We can't make policy decisions based on incomplete data.
Let's move on to another aspect. There's mention of a link between marijuana use and psychosis. Eric, what are your thoughts on this?
This is a serious concern, Ted. Temporary psychosis can be absolutely terrifying for the individual experiencing it and for their loved ones. But what's even more worrying is the potential link to chronic disorders like schizophrenia. We're talking about life-altering conditions here.
Now hold on a second. We need way more research before we start drawing these kinds of conclusions. Correlation doesn't imply causation. And there
Kate,
are so many
I understand the need for more research, but shouldn't we err on the side of caution here? We're talking about potentially triggering lifelong mental health conditions. That's not something we should take lightly or brush off while we wait for more data.
I'm not saying we should brush it off, Eric. But prohibition isn't the answer either. What we really need is better education and responsible use guidelines. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and pretend people won't use marijuana. We need to equip them with the knowledge to make informed decisions.
Let's compare this situation to a similar historic event. The end of alcohol prohibition in the 1930s comes to mind. Eric, what parallels can we draw?
That's an excellent comparison, Ted. When prohibition ended, we saw a massive surge in alcohol consumption and related health issues. It's like deja vu all over again with marijuana legalization. We're opening Pandora's box without fully understanding the consequences.
Oh, please. Prohibition was an absolute disaster that led to organized crime and dangerous black markets. Marijuana legalization is actually...
I'm not denying that, Kate, but you're missing the point. It took years, decades even, to implement proper regulations and education around alcohol. We're in a similar learning curve with marijuana, but we're moving at warp speed without a seatbelt.
The difference is we have so much more scientific knowledge now. We're not flying blind like they were in the 1930s. We can make informed decisions much faster and adapt our policies as we learn more.
How did society adapt to legal alcohol? What lessons can we apply to marijuana?
Education was absolutely key, Ted. People learned about responsible drinking over time, and we need similar campaigns for marijuana use. We can't just legalize it and call it a day. We need to invest in public awareness and safety programs.
But alcohol still causes significant societal harm. Do we really want to repeat those mistakes with another substance?
Eric, you can't equate marijuana with alcohol. It's less harmful in many ways. We shouldn't treat them as equivalent because they're not. Marijuana has medicinal benefits that alcohol doesn't.
Less harmful doesn't mean harmless, Kate. We're already seeing addiction rates and health issues rising. It's like we're watching a car crash in slow motion.
Those issues existed during Prohibition too, Eric. At least now, with legalization, we can address them openly. We can research, educate, and provide treatment without the stigma and legal barriers.
At what cost, Kate? We're potentially creating a new public health crisis here. It's like we're so focused on the potential benefits that we're willfully ignoring the very real dangers staring us in the face.
Looking to the future, how do you see this situation unfolding? Eric, what's your prediction?
I hate to say it, Ted, but I foresee a public health crisis looming on the horizon. As use becomes more widespread, we're going to see a surge in addiction rates, CHS cases, and mental health issues. It's not just going to strain our healthcare systems, it's going to push them to the breaking point.
Oh, come on, Eric. That's pure fear-mongering. I predict a much more balanced future where responsible use becomes the norm. We'll see real benefits in
balanced
pain management and...
Kate, we're talking about 18 million people with cannabis use disorder right now. That number is going to skyrocket as legalization spreads. It's not fear-mongering, it's facing reality.
As education improves, those numbers will stabilize, Eric. We'll develop better treatment options for those who need help. It's not going to be perfect overnight, but we're moving in the right direction.
What about the legal landscape? How might that evolve?
I'm confident we'll see federal legalization within the next decade, Ted. This will be a game changer. It'll allow for standardized research and regulations across states. We'll finally be able to study marijuana properly and develop evidence-based policies.
That's a dangerous path, Kate. We should be tightening restrictions, not loosening them. We need way more research before making such a
drastic... Prohibition doesn't work. It only criminalizes users and prevents proper research. We've seen this movie before with alcohol, and we know how it ends.
But rushing into legalization without understanding the consequences is completely irresponsible. We're gambling with public health.
The benefits far outweigh the risks, Eric. Legal marijuana can provide significant tax revenue, reduce incarceration rates, and offer numerous medical benefits. We can't ignore these potential positives.
Those potential benefits don't justify the clear and present dangers we're already seeing, Kate. It's like we're willing to sacrifice the health of millions for some tax revenue and unproven medical benefits.
Thank you both for this spirited debate. It's clear this issue is complex with valid concerns on both sides. As we move forward, careful consideration and ongoing research will be crucial in navigating the changing landscape of marijuana legalization and its impacts on public health.